total coliform and negative for E. coli. We retested on the 3rd, and we tested the fire station, the state park, community hall, spring 1 and spring 2, and all locations came back negative. We installed 2 meters in the district. This month I met with PUD, CenturyLink, Lincoln County Highway Department, and did a system walkthrough with Jonathan and Buzz. We did the monthly meeting and 2 work sessions. In the district, we had a site gauge that I built outside of the large tank, so we no longer have to open it in the summer to see how full it is. There's a glass tube on the side with water that shows you the elevation of it so that we don't have to open it and risk contamination. We also cleaned the inside and refilled the tank. We also set a timer in the electrical panel room and rewired blows for spring 3 and set up a new mechanism inside the tank so that when it does drop down to a certain level, the flow will kick and then the pump will kick on. So trying to use the 3rd spring as little as possible. So hopefully between the timer, floats, everything involved, the thing will only kick on when we absolutely need it, if we need it this summer. I did purchase some gravel for spring number 1 in April and did an inventory on meter parts and other items that we have in the room for an inventory list. And Beth had helped with a program on the computer, so now we have everything at Longman. It's all on a computer program, so that's really handy and makes things faster and easier. We have a pretty good hold on our inventory, what we have, what we need.
Excuse me, may I interrupt just for a minute? I have word that the Mike's computer that you're seeing is Janice and Mike Mullen.
Oh, okay.
They don't know how to unmute.
So
that's why they did not respond.
Oh, well, it's okay. I've unmuted them at our end, so it's something on their device that needs to unmute. In other words, they're officially unmuted from the meeting standpoint, okay. But there may be something with their device that's keeping them from speaking.
Oh, they said they're okay. They just want to listen.
Okay.
So we purchased some gravel for spring number 1, and over at Buzz's house, we cleaned it, flushed it, put it in buckets and chlorinated it, and let it sit for the replacement of the gravel in spring number 1. There was a repair done on Ottercrest Loop for the car that drove off and hit the pipe that's on the pillars. There's a water bridge down there and the car got jammed in there. So we did have to hire an excavation contractor to come out, clean off the weeds, help us reset the pipe. And then with the help of Buzz and I had restrapped it and restrained it the best we could with what was there. So it is put back in place. And then I went up to Tom to the tank and helped him make a couple of measurements on the outside with string lines. And I think he sent the board a report of what he found. So that's my superintendent report for April. But for the people that were not aware, we were able to put that gravel that I purchased into the spring. The city of Newport kindly enough came out with a big vac truck and sucked out the spring. We were able to replace the gravel in it, and it's been flushing for a week. So we believe it came within probably a 10% increase in water after sucking all the silt out of it and then replacing the gravel inside. So. So I believe it's really good and flush. Then I will kick it back online and we'll have a little bit more water than we had prior to it being sucked out. So we owe the city of Newport a big thank you for sending out their crew and their guys and their $500,000 truck and not charging us a penny. That was very kind of them. So, as far as that's concerned, that's all I have for my superintendent report for April.
Jim, if you'll send me the contact information for City, I will draft a thank you for them.
Actually, I have drafted
a letter,
which I can send out if you all. I don't think we all have to hand sign it. Hopefully it will be adequate just to have the commissioners' names and positions on the bottom of it. And I'll send it out this evening after the meeting for you all to look at and.
Great.
Any suggested edits that you'd like to do, we can edit it and then send it on. And I thought about forwarding it to some of the other, you know, bosses at the city, and I decided best to send it just to him, and then he can forward it on to those whom he chooses.
Right. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, for doing that.
No problem. It was Jim's suggestion last week, so.
Yeah, okay. Good idea, Jim. Any questions or comments on Jim's report?
The new report format's beautiful, Jim.
Yeah, she helped me out with that. Thank you. She helped me with the format. Beth helped me get it all on the computer, and you guys did a great help. But I have a few bugs to work out, but Beth, I will be getting a hold of you.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody that helped with that. That was, it was really nice to have it all summarized in easy format.
So do we get to ask some questions about the result of last month's visit during Buzz's comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll work.
Okay. Yeah, I'll entertain a motion to approve the superintendent's report.
I motion.
Is there a second?
You can make me do this again? Okay, I second.
Yeah, I guess that's
not too much.
Okay, I hear a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, moving on. Treasurer's and office report. Pat?
Okay, here we go. I need to report to the board that about 10 days ago, after many hours of working on QuickBooks, it has been revealed that there were errors on the LB 20 and 30, which are turned into the state for the budget every year. The LB 20 is the revenue side and the LB 30 is the expenditure side of what our proposed budget is for every year. What was revealed was that cash carryover from June 30th of 2019 in the amount of $25,894 was inadvertently added to revenue anticipated from water sales and other sources for this budget year. Cash carryover is supposed to be the amount set aside to get through the first month or so of the next fiscal year. It is not part of revenue and that will be received during a fiscal year. In addition, $6,000 was identified as a future local improvement district, or LID, for system repairs. That also was included for revenue anticipated for this fiscal year. there had been some general discussion about how an LID worked, how it could be used at the end of in the spring of last year, prior to the budget being produced. But an LID is actually a taxing mechanism and it requires a special fund. It could not have and would not have been just included in a normal budget report. So that brings us to $31,894 included as revenue in our budget that will not ever be there. At this late hour, we only have 6 more weeks in which we can tighten our belts to reduce spending. We have already started reducing spending. The minute this was discovered, we just put the brakes on. But it will be impossible to make up the entire difference this way. We only have 6 weeks. So it's probable that savings will have to be used to get through the beginning of the next fiscal year. Note that we are evidently not the first district to make this mistake with cash carryover, and this is not the first time this mistake has been made in our district. Apparently, the prior year, 18-19, the same mistake was made. Previous LB20 forms were rather deceiving the way they were set up for districts to fill in. And when I called the Department of Revenue as to whether we would have to issue an amended budget for this year and reconvene the budget committee, I was told that this was not the first time they'd had this question. The good news is that the next forms used to be used for 2020-21 budget have been revised. So it will not be so easy to add those numbers in by mistake. Our bank statements for April are reconciled. Today's balances are today's balances, not April 31st. We have $29,485.73 in checking, $66,974.57 in the savings account at the Treasury, and the Community Center Fund has $366.79. Accounts payable so far in May were $2,193.72. Those checks were issued yesterday. And in accounts receivable, customer billings that went out by US mail went out on Friday, and email invoices went out yesterday. We currently have only $650 in past due accounts, and those are only 2 customers who are late. Both those accounts are expected to be paid in full by the end of this month. Let's see, we had an unanticipated expense that Jim didn't talk about, but he was the hero of the day when some kids ran their uninsured car off Butter Loop Road and onto our water line that's an above ground line that parallels the road. The driver was uninsured. Our liability insurance does not cover such an event, so the district has to absorb the $893 that has so far cost to mitigate the damage that was done. Fortunately, the line did not break. It was frankly amazing to see Jim jump into action when this happened. He immediately made decisions about, I'm literally within seconds, who to call, what to do, how to do it, and got everything going. And so the repair It was about an 8.5 hour day. It was a long day, but the repair went really well, and he was able to lift the pipe back up temporarily, at least on its pier, to completely repair and completely and properly repair the aged pipe would be an extremely expensive replacement, as it would be required to meet today's engineering and seismic standards. In other business, there's been a request, Buzz and I talked about this, to supply a debit or credit card to Jim, because he has to frequently buy supplies at other than our big suppliers that we invoice, and vice versa. The smallest credit limit we can get at Columbia Bank is a $500 credit limit. But part of that process is that they require us to have two cards, and so somebody else needs to volunteer to hold that second card. And so I would need a board resolution to proceed with applying for that and go ahead with the bank to process an application for that. I also would like to thank Wendy Ware for buzzing over with her lawnmower and doing a great job mowing the community center lawn for us. So I need a motion, and if somebody would like to volunteer, have a discussion about having that debit card. Excuse me, it's a credit card.
Okay. Buzz, were you going to move?
I didn't know if she was gonna, if there was any discussion. If there isn't, I was gonna make a motion, but if there's discussion, I'll hold off.
Well, why don't you make the motion, and then we'll have a discussion about the motion.
I motion we get a credit card. Make the motion.
I second.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Discussion would have to include choosing someone else to hold that second card.
Wouldn't that logically be you, Pat?
No, actually not. It is a little bit safer financially for the district not to have everything vested in one person. So I would suggest that somebody else be in charge of that.
Lisa, are you raising your hand?
Yeah. We can't hear Lisa. Are you?
Did you just volunteer, Lisa?
You're not muted here, Lisa.
Can't hear you.
I can't hear.
Wave if you can hear us. Good.
Wave if you volunteered to hold the other card. Okay.
Thumb up.
Okay, so Lisa volunteers to hold the other card. Jim will have one. Is there any other discussion? Are you ready to vote?
The motion should also authorize me to proceed with the bank to fill out that application and complete it.
So moved.
Sorry, Buzz, I should have sent that to you ahead of time.
That's fine. I make that, add that to the motion.
Yeah.
Friendly amendment. The motion. Okay. Anything else on the motion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 None opposed? That's five ayes, so motion carries. And Are you done, Pat? Is that your?
That's it.
That's it. Great. That's it. Do we have any announcements?
Oh, before we move on to announcements, I'd just like once again to thank Pat for all the work she's done.
My goodness, yes.
And it's a huge relief to me to finally have our accounts reconciled and to actually be forming the budget for this next year with actual information. I see Dale's nodding his head, another accountant here in the community. I'm not an accountant, but having the real numbers to work with from this point forward is just a huge relief to me. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
Oh, and we need a motion to approve the treasurer's report.
We approve the treasurer report.
Okay, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. Now I think we can go to announcements. Do we have any announcements? Do we have any public comments? Dale, no. Mike, Joan, Joni,
nope.
Consuelo. Okay. Nope. Action item checklist review. Dan, you sent the checklist out. Did we?
Mea culpa. I did not send out my suggested edits and updates.
Okay.
I will do so. Probably tomorrow for that one. But there were a few things that could obviously be struck off. But I also need to ask if any of the commissioners have additional items that should be on the list.
Additional items.
Well, I think we're doing a couple of things. Working on a couple of things now that I didn't see actually on the list. So I think there are a few items we can strike off. But the last time it was updated, looks like it was December, January.
Correct, I think that's so, right.
So tomorrow I will strike off, I'll send you the struck off version and then solicit your additions.
Right, well, why don't you include if you think there's things that should be on there.
Oh, I will.
Okay. So you do the strikeout and your additions.
I'll let you know what items I have taken off, mm-hmm. and then I will make any suggestions I have for items to put on. But rather than put them in the table, I'll just do that as a note along with the table, and then you guys can let me know by email, and then I can update the table.
Excuse me, Dan, I've got a message from the Harts.
Yes.
They've been trying to get included into the meeting.
Oh.
Sorry, I just noticed.
My fault. I've been paying attention to the meeting and not paying attention to the...
10 minutes old here. I'm sorry.
Okay, I hadn't looked in a while. They should be coming in and they're unmuted now.
Welcome to the Harts.
Thank you.
I apologize for that delay.
Not a problem.
Okay. What's next? Any more comments on the checklist? We're done with that, right? Okay, we'll deal with that via email. So now we have special order of business, budget committee appointments and proposed meetings.
Great. I guess I should say we have four budget committee members. All are, but one are returning from last year. They include Joni DeMott, Grace Hamilton or Grace Gabriel, Kenny Hunt, and Mike Mullen has volunteered to serve this year.
Great.
We could really do with one more member, and it's not too late. Our first budget meeting will be on the 19th. So if anybody would like to join us, you do have to be a registered voter in Otter Rock.
Yeah, residing inside the district boundary.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Our zip code is actually larger than our district boundary.
So. Right. So if we could, Beth will entertain a motion to appoint those people to serve on the budget committee again and set the first budget committee meeting for the 19th.
Well, I'll make the motion then.
Okay.
We appoint Joni, Grace, Kenny, and Mike to the budget committee. And do we do this all in one motion?
We can.
And set the first meeting for May 19th.
Hey guys, if you need another budget committee member, I'll do it. Stan Hart.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
I just got on. I forgot about this. And I just got online.
Great. That gives us a
full compliment.
Thank you.
So then when's the meeting?
It's in a week.
In a week. Okay, a week from today. All right, I'll write that down on my calendar.
Right.
Okay, well, let's amend that motion to include Stan Hart. So would there be a second?
We could say that the time for that meeting is 6 p.m. and all board members are also part of the budget committee. So board members need to attend. We will try to carry on the meeting by Zoom.
Okay.
And Dale has graciously volunteered, although he's now an Arizona resident officially, has graciously volunteered to sit in as an interested participant. So we need extra accounting advice. There he is.
Oh, great. Your special advisor. Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 None opposed? Motion carries. We'll see all of you next week on the 19th. Do we have any other ordinances, resolutions? What about board member comments?
Can I ask a question going back to the budget committee?
Sure.
Sure.
I asked, Pat, you said the board members are automatically members of the committee. Does that mean we can attend the budget committee meetings?
We have to.
We should. We're supposed to.
You're assigned that role, yes.
All right. Got it. Thank you.
Okay. And Buzz, you were going to give us a little report, weren't you?
Yeah. Is it time?
It's coming up, yeah.
I'll wait my turn.
Okay, well, I'll just run down through the list then. We're at board member comments. So Lisa, do you have anything? No? Okay, Buzz, you're on.
Okay. Well, I have the report all written up, but I didn't send it. I was gonna email it to each of you. And I will after the meeting,
okay.
But I can talk about it, answer questions. I do have one question. This is for the board, actually. So where I'm thinking about where we're going and what our goal is, and in my mind, we're trying to put together an estimate. That's what Cascade's doing. They're going to give us an estimate on the distribution system and parts of the tank farm. And we've been working on different components of a what to do about the tank. And that's a lot of what I talk about in the report. So if all goes well, at some point, maybe towards the end of the summer or sooner, we should have some numbers together. And at that point, my understanding is Lisa is the commissioner that's going to be overseeing getting an application made. Is that correct, Lisa? Okay. I have a question then in that regard. Let's just say, and at one of the meetings in the last couple of months, Irie was given to understand there was $100,000 grant available, one-time grant. And also, there was a one-time loan available, a low-interest loan from the state lottery fund. And so let's just say hypothetically, we have a number that's a few months in the future, and Lisa gets the numbers all put on an application, and the application is processed, and lo and behold, we get a grant for X bucks. My question is, when we get that grant, and it's is the money put in the bank where we have to start paying interest on it, or do they pay interest on it, dole it out to us, and we pay interest on, at some point we need to start paying that interest, and I'm wondering how that works. Do you have any idea, Lisa? Oh, she can't talk, I forgot. Okay, well,
can I jump in and say, usually on a grant, it's a separate fund. It has to be tracked separately. It may have to be in a separate bank account. Lisa, you could signal if I'm not saying the right thing. The funds, there's no interest that you pay on a grant. The grant is money given to us.
That's $100,000. I'm worried about the big bucks.
Well, yes. That would be money that had to be repaid in some fashion. And yes, there would be interest.
So I guess what I'm driving at is we get the money. We don't have a design. It'll be months. I mean, we're not going to pay for several thousand dollars a week worth of.
I'm not sure we'll get the money without a design as part of the process. Is that true, Lisa? Yeah, Lisa's nodding her head.
And wouldn't grant funds could be used to pay for the design? No, they can't. Okay, so all of that has to be in order before. Not sure what that signal means.
Did she call one of us on speakerphone and then their microphone can pick it up?
Yeah. We could do that.
You could call in.
Yeah. Yeah. Did someone just get a call from Lisa?
No, my car warranty expired.
Sorry.
See you at a Marriott Hotel 1 and 2.
not funny. Sorry, Jim.
No. I got blown up.
Yeah. So where were we? So at some point, the rates would have to, so are we paying for that design out of that $100,000 that everybody thinks will be eaten up by administrative fees?
No, that's, Lisa was just.
I see Lisa's finger.
Is she signaling yes or no?
She's signaling that she's dialing her phone.
Oh, okay. I think she signaled a minute ago that the grant cannot be used for the design process and the engineering that's required.
So
maybe we should call one of us and our ringers are all off.
I'm staring at my phone just in case. We'll see who's the lucky person that gets the call.
Who is it?
Shake your head. Yes. Is it me? No.
Put a note in a bottle.
Lisa, if you put the name of the intended recipient on a piece of paper and hold it up.
There I go. I got her.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, Lisa, I got you. Can I broadcast you? Okay.
I called the Zoom meeting ID and it's not.
I have a really bad echo, but let's try it. Oh, this isn't going to work too well.
No.
Lisa, I'm going to take you off speaker. Why don't you tell me what you'd like to say and I'll just say it back. Ah, okay.
Oh, here.
Okay. Here, wait a minute. Let me translate that part so I don't get too confused. Okay, what Lisa's saying is that there's the $100,000 grant and then there would be a loan. But they're in tandem. You cannot do them separately.
Right.
And the grant is something that has been discussed a bit, but it apparently has some restrictions that maybe make it prohibitive for us. Do you want to add anything to that, Lisa? Okay, so there are apparently other grants that are not connected to the lottery funds that we could apply for. But all of them probably have some requirements ahead of time as far as planning. Is that correct? Okay.
The question I have is, are we going to have to come up with funding for a plan before we can apply for the grant and loan?
What do you mean by funding for a plan, Dan?
In other words, are we going to have to fund some level of proposal through one of the engineering consultants to have concrete numbers before we can apply for the grant and loan?
I interpreted what I heard earlier between Elise and Pat, that we have to have plans and specifications and ready to go to bid to get a loan from the bank. Am I wrong in that? That's not a plan. Those, I mean, it is, they're drawings. It's not a master plan, like,
right,
you know.
Right. No, I think a master plan is too vague. I think we have to have numbers.
Yes. Drawings.
Yeah. And
how much documentation do you think is going to be required for some of the other grants or loans that you've looked at? Okay. So each option apparently has its own requirements and specifications to apply. And so we don't necessarily have to have engineering plans ready to go, but we do have to decide what plan we will pursue before we can apply for anything. Is that correct, Lisa? Okay, once we think we know what direction we want to go, then you go and talk to these people. Then they tell you what you have to do in order to apply. Okay. Is there any kind of a timeline that you know of associated with that? Okay, so apparently there could be some changes in how readily available funding might be for especially the State of Oregon grant because of COVID and because the government is limping along. So probably the next thing that needs to happen is the board has to make a decision about what direction to go. And then more questions can be asked.
That prompts a question on my part, which is, as part of the numbers that they're working on, Buzz, are they including an option for replacing the laterals so we have a number we can at least consider? Because I understand from what Lisa said earlier that we basically get one shot. And if that's the case, then I think we should consider the largest possible enchilada, because it sounds like funding finishing up may be very difficult. Are they giving us a number for, as part of their numbers, an estimate for replacing all of our laterals instead of just part of them?
Yes and no.
Yes and no?
Yes, to the extent he's giving us the core, replacing all the transite. As not necessarily a phase one, but a separate item.
Okay.
And along with that, some key laterals that need to be replaced. For instance, going up First Street, that's a 2-inch line, I believe. Yeah. Jim, is that correct? The West First Street up to the punch bowl. The process they're using, we would add those kinds of streets that we would prefer to dig without trenching to the core bit. And then the second part, not phase, he's giving us that would be an option of doing it with trenching, open trenching, because it's mostly are unpaved and it may be cheaper. And but there's always the chance that it may not be that much cheaper due to circumstances around here, and somebody may, we'll give them the option of doing it both with horizontal direction drilling or open trenching.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Well, I guess it probably does, but I guess my question is, are we going to wind up with a number?
Yes.
For replacing all of our laterals?
Yes. All except the 2-inch line.
The 2-inch line, meaning?
There's about 1,700 feet of 2-inch line. Most of it goes down south Gladys. We're not going to replace that.
We're not replacing it because it's perfectly good and we can get all the... I'll need to understand why we're... If there are parts of our system that are good for a few more decades.
It's easy to replace. Jim, stop me if I'm saying anything out of school here, but it's relatively easy to replace. It's shallow. All of it can be done with open trenches, and it's just... I'm going from memory here. I think it's 1,700 feet of line that I said arbitrarily, maybe we didn't need to replace it.
Okay.
The master plan said to replace all that 2-inch line with 6-inch line. That's nonsense.
Sure. So, Jim, can I put you on the spot a little bit and ask you, If the 1,700 feet of 2-inch line Buzz referred to is something we're not going to have to think about replacing?
Well, I think some of the line itself is probably in good shape. I do think, though, that there's probably inline valves and blow-offs. I know that we have problems with the saddles. We're having the saddles is the biggest problem, and I don't know how long those are going to last. So if for some reason the pipe itself could be resaddled with new blow-offs and new valves put in, then I believe that could happen without open trenching the existing pipe in the ground. I just don't know if it would be, I don't know what the cost would be more by replacing existing valves, blow-offs, and saddles versus putting a new one next to it and having them open trenches. Sometimes, I know in the sewer when we did rehabs, it got to the point where it was getting so expensive digging multiple holes versus just doing the trench and setting them on your way by. So I think that would be a question for the engineer to find out if he believes, and Buzz, if they believe that it would be cheaper just to dig up those sections and fix the areas that need changed out, you know. But then we have to do pressure testing and bacteria testing and flushing as well. So I think there's a lot of variables to that question.
Can I add something? The line going down to, I don't know how long it is. Maybe it's 1,349 feet. It's a long stretch of 2-inch line. There's four houses on that line. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, it's just that cluster of three down there. There's the blow-off valves are right there.
Yeah, I did just replace the blow-off and installed meters on that line.
Yeah.
I didn't do the saddles, but that particular line I don't think needs to be replaced. But
there's others like on Second Street We would probably have the contractor drill a sleeve under C Street and do that line, that 2-inch line. That's just a short stub. The line that goes off of Nellie, the one that goes up to Peggy's house, that's 2-inch, or is that just a long service line?
Yeah.
Goes to Ted.
Yeah.
Ted and Peggy's. I believe it's just.
But going the other way, there's more 2-inch. I'm going on here. I'm sorry, but it's just we'd have to do something I didn't mention. But part of that core work is also the replacing all the AC lines. Part of that core work is also drilling lines under First Street, mostly First Street, to get to South A Street, Nellie, that 2-inch line, Gladys, and Ellie. So those lines could be replaced by other means than horizontal direct drilling. And on Nellie, we're setting it up for a replacement of that 2-inch line, but just going up that driveway and trenching and backfilling, it's the bottom line is, as Jim said, you could figure it one way and you could figure it the other. If the board decided they wanted to replace all that 2-inch line, that's fine. I don't think it makes that much difference. But 2 years ago when I was looking at it, I just said, well, we don't need to do that. Save some money. And we can do that. Is that a good answer? I mean, is that what you...
That helps. I guess my question is there a reason not to include that in the enchilada? Would it be a significant percentage increase on for us to finance and just get her done if it needs to be done?
I just gave you the reason, Dan. But we could do it. I'm not hung up on doing it one way or the other. Yes, if you want to do that.
I don't know if we'll want to, but I just wondered if there was a way to have a price estimate.
It's kind of a small part of the total project, and I think it would make a big difference if we included it and did it. The only reason I left it out, it was if something went wrong. Something went wrong on that line a couple of years ago with Ted had to go out there and there was a big landslide and they had to replace a bunch of it. We did it ourselves. I mean, it's only 2-inch line. It's
sure.
No big deal. So that's why I left it out. We didn't need a contractor to come in and do it.
Okay. As long as we'll wind up with the funding to fund it, if we have to do it ourselves, I guess that's probably the core of my anxiety is my understanding is that, from when I went to the infrastructure conference in Salem, is that if you have savings set aside, they get included in the total that's going to get funded by your grant and loan. And so I guess my anxiety is, will we have the reserves to deal with that if we have to deal with it afterward? Or will we just have to build them up and hope nothing happens until we've built them up? Because our reserves, my understanding, and Lisa, you can wave a finger at me if I'm wrong, is that any reserves or savings that you have built up are automatically assumed to be allocated to your project when you get your project financed. That's my little worry, and that's why I ask all these pesky questions. But thank you for filling me in. Appreciate it.
Well, yeah, we got a far afield, you were asking me what's the state of the infrastructure. And the only reason I asked, tried to get more information on the end game is, let me just explain. I've worked on projects where the developers actually started the project before they had the design finished. Because the interest rates were so high, and they were they actually were doing parts of a building that they had the design on, where while the parts, like they were doing the steel work, while the mechanical and electrical engineers were working furiously on designing so that they wouldn't have to borrow too much money at one time. And I'm not being clear here. I was just asking how the money is paid, and if we have to start increasing rates or whatever it is, user rates or whatever it has to do, and paying interest on a loan when we don't even have the drawings ready. And I also wondered if we overestimated how much money we needed, and that money, this is maybe too simplistic, if we overestimated too much the amount of money that we needed, and that money was just dumped in an account in a lump sum, did we have to start paying interest on that money when we didn't really need it? And we wouldn't know if we needed it until we were had the contract bid, and so like that, Dan.
Sure.
A lot of it has to do with chicken egg thing of having the drawings ready and getting right to work, and sure. When the money starts flowing. And I didn't know when we were having to pay interest. I was concerned about the accuracy of the budgetary estimate that we have mm-hmm. to submit. Mm-hmm. In an ideal world, we'd come up with the exact number of what we want to do, but in order to do that, we have to pay for more engineering, and we don't have the money to pay for more engineering. So it's kind of a quandary.
Buzz, is Jonathan from Cascade Waterworks going to give us a couple of different options when he presents his I don't want to know what to call it all of a sudden, when he presents his estimation of what we have asked him to provide us? Is he going to include some options in there?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's vital that we do that, because if we have all this money tied up in a nice, neat little bow and these plans and specifications, and we're all ready and we have this exact amount in the bank, and we go out to bid, and let's say we get one bidder, and he just puts in a ridiculous bid, and we don't have any way to divide the project up. We can't build anything because we don't have enough money. That's happened. It's happened to me.
Yeah. And Lisa can illuminate us on this, but I think with the loans and grants, it's more like a line of credit, and you don't start drawing on it. In other words, it's not like they just dump a huge amount of cash in an account. I think you start drawing on it after you've chosen your bid. I don't really know either. I've only got a very fuzzy thing. I think the next time that we get together, Lisa will have audio and she can educate us better about it.
Let's say we borrow $2.5 million, just round numbers, to do this whole thing that you want to do, everything. And we go out for bid, and for whatever reason, everybody, the contractors are really busy. There's only one guy that bids it, and he knows that nobody else is going to bid it. And that happens. Trust me.
Yeah, well, I know.
He said, but he doesn't know for sure how much money we have. So he bids like $3 million, and we only have $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So how you have to have a bid that's structured so that you can take parts of it away and still have something that you can build.
Right.
And that to me is getting rid of this transite and a few other streets and make it so that we can add the laterals later.
Oh no, I understand. I don't want to abandon the most core, most needed parts of the distribution system, by having it all be one package. But I'm reassured to hear that we're getting different sections with estimates to them. And but I also just wanted to point out that we may find out that it makes financial sense to do all of it, or it may turn out that we can only do the most essential parts of it. But it sounds like we're being presented with options. That's great.
I've got a question. Are we just thinking about doing a loan, or are we discussing doing a general obligation bond?
Well,
$1 million, that's going to be a heck of a loan.
We have not actually talked about how we would finance paying off the loan, but I think a GO bond is definitely something that we need to consider as one of the options for paying off.
If you did a general obligation bond, you would have a chunk of money that you have that you don't have to worry about paying interest on. All you're doing is paying off the obligation bond loan. That would seem to me to make more sense. And then do a grant if we can with it. I don't know why we're talking about a loan.
Well, actually, what your GO bond does is it pays off that loan obligation that you have incurred. So we still have to set up the loan and grant combo. And these days, it's largely loan, a little bit of grant. That's what's been going out. At least that was true last fall. I don't know now. But the general obligation bond basically commits you to paying off whatever loan it is that you've arranged.
Okay.
It isn't like, let's say the district passes a GO bond. It isn't like all of a sudden money comes out of somewhere. It's basically the GO bond is, as I understand it, is designed to pay off the loan that you have structured.
Okay. Another way to pay the loan off.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And perhaps the most desirable way, but that's down the road.
And Buzz, I think if we haven't already done it, we need to make sure that Jonathan understands that we want him to give us a couple of different project options.
He knows that.
And not just create
this
huge lump sum project. I think he knows that. It seems to me you've told him that a couple different times in meetings that I've been at with the two of you. Do you feel like he needs more full board direction for that?
For that one thing, no. I've said this before. Compared to the tank, which is only about 15 to 20% of the total cost of the, well, the tank farm, the piping, is only about 15 to 20%, if that, of the total project. Mm-hmm. The distribution system is the big nut.
Yeah.
But the distribution system in terms of concept and what to do and how to do it is more of a bookkeeping process. The only complexity is just dividing it into two parts, as I've explained.
Right.
The tank is not totally Jonathan. I mean, he'll oversee it, but there's a lot of ramifications to the tank that are actually the boundary conditions for that tank are more policy decisions that will come from the board and to decide what kind of service you want to provide. As an example, the tank, the height of it, the volume of it will determine in large part the quality of the quality of fire flow we can provide. The tank will determine how much pressure we can provide in the district. And I think just an aside to that is I think the board ultimately, if we are able to exceed the minimum 20 PSI and we have a healthy, sound distribution system, the board may at some point decide to allow, we have a low, the board may decide to allow individual users to put in their own little booster system rather than try to boost the pressure for everybody. The tank will decide the configuration, what quality of water we have. And that's a huge consideration. So all of those come from, those are policy things that come from the board. And we need to put our heads together and just make those decisions what we want to do and tell the engineer what we want. And that'll be the write-up that I promised to send you guys after the meeting. That's all in there. Mostly about the, not about the distribution system.
Buzz, are you at the point where you want the board to have a work session and hash out all these, some of the major details, so that you can then go back to Jonathan to give him better direction to finalize what he's doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Short answer, okay.
That's easy enough to do.
I think we have Lisa on sound. Lisa?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. Whoopee.
I'm hanging up the phone.
Okay, good. Yeah, me too. My battery's dead.
Yeah.
I think also the state of the emperor, I'll send out that email that I have prepared.
I don't know why the button didn't go on.
Read it. I'd love to get some feedback. Negative or positive, pro or con is all acceptable. And it would give, if we're going to talk about infrastructure in a working meeting that we're going to have pretty soon, you'll have a little more information.
Okay. One thing.
So if it's okay with everyone.
Excuse me. Go ahead, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So if it's okay with everyone, I will contact the lady from the state of Oregon and see where Oregon is with the loans and see if the two that we were talking to her about are still available. And then go from there and see exactly what we need to do to start this ball rolling. Exactly. So we don't just have nebulous ideas.
Right.
Hey, that sounds good.
Good.
I'd be in favor of that.
For sure. Do we want to set a working meeting date to do that?
Yeah.
Sounds like we need that.
Yeah.
All in the same meeting?
The same as what?
What Lisa's talking about in infrastructure.
No, I'm just gonna contact her and ask, you know, are the two loan options that we talked about, are they still available? Because with this pandemic, I don't know if Oregon is still on track to give us money.
Mm.
Okay.
Good question.
No, it scares me a little.
Sure. But I think it would make sense if we're going to have a special meeting to talk about what you've learned about the financing issue and then talk more about the feedback we've gotten about the infrastructure estimates. It makes sense to have that. Sounds like a special meeting agenda to me. How about everybody else?
Would we have something from Jonathan back at all, do you think, what about a week from Thursday, the 21st?
Buzz, when do you expect to get something back from Jonathan?
I said I'll call him and ask him and I'll find out.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, then we could set a meeting date after that.
Right.
And because we're going to be doing a meeting by Zoom, it would really be helpful for me. I'm fairly familiar now with our system and where things are, but it would be nice to have ahead of time a map, if we could, that identify what Jonathan's options would be, the parts of the options would be.
Buzz, could we use the maps that are already part of the feasibility study as our basic map?
That's what I've been doing right along.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay. Does everybody have a copy of the feasibility study available to them?
You're saying so they can look at the map?
Yeah.
I've got those online. I'll just include that in the email.
Oh, I mean, they're on the website.
I thought they were on the website.
Yeah.
I'll include it in the email.
Okay. Thanks.
That would be great. It's really hard to visualize when you are talking about boring across C Street up, you know, if that's a part of a project.
I would have had trouble too if I hadn't been looking at the maps recently.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I need to go look at the maps. Okay, I get it.
But no, you're right. It's useful to have those so that while we're talking, we can actually, you know, just pull that screen up and make sure we understand what we're talking about.
Great. I think we have a plan for a plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have any other board member comments?
I would like to just say one more time that I need to prepare a proposed budget to show to our budget committee and I have to get that ready and within the next week. I really could use some input from board members about, especially Jim and Buzz, because there are other things in the district besides the big projects that need doing, and I need to find a way to get those in the budget if that's possible. But I need to know amounts and identify maybe four or five projects that we know need to be done. And I need some dollar amounts, rough amounts that I can use in preparing that proposed budget, please.
Okay.
Could I count on you by Friday?
Yes.
Thank you. And of course, if anybody else has anything that needs to be in a proposed budget, that doesn't mean everything will get included, but it means that we have a wish list to choose from. You need anything is critical, I need to know that too.
So Pat, Jim, the other day was telling, remember we were talking about over on Ellie about that leak?
Right, right.
Jim mentioned something that he used to work with a prior board treasurer that the board treasurer would tell him how much money he had left available for Jim and Jim would stretch it out to the end of the year. Is that a possibility?
Well, that's kind of, I don't know if that's a normal way to prepare a budget. There are some things that obviously have to be in a proposed budget, like payroll and fixed expenses like your insurance costs and your utility costs and that stuff. Those are pretty easy to nail down, but as in my report, there may not be much left for other things. We'll have to see.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know if I can just, Dale, help me out here. I've never prepared a budget before, but I suppose it could happen.
Well, one of the big pieces we've had problems with in the past is how many meters we're planning to put in.
Exactly.
Over the time frame, so it'd be helpful to know where how many have been put in over the past half years, and that way know how much we're going to need to set aside for this year.
Right, and that's a board decision.
Yep.
That would be lovely if the board would say, we want to put in 10 this year, or we want to put in 5 this year. We have to put in 5 this year, and maybe have a little reserve in case we have some we don't anticipate putting in. Those are the kinds of things I definitely need direction for.
Because if I remember correctly, when we put aside the additional rate to fund the meters, it was I believe a 4-year plan. And so we're about halfway through that plan.
No, they've changed it 2 or 3 times, and the average has been 4 a month. We didn't start, I think we're, 2 years into it?
I think November of 18 was when you started, wasn't it?
September 2018.
Yeah. September is when we started, and it was a four a month. It wasn't a 4-year plan. I think it was a 5-year plan at the time, and then Rod somehow or some way got put down as a 4-year plan. But regardless of what the plan was, we've had a lot of things come up in the meantime. And so with the spring tank line that had to be replaced, there's been all kinds of things that keep popping up. So we are close to being on schedule to what was initially estimated. However, we could slow down or speed up. That's all a budgetary item.
So four a month was the original plan?
Yeah.
Woo! Okay.
Do we know how much we're paying per Do we have a basic idea what the average is on them?
Oh, we have a very good basic idea.
How much money it's going to cost to do it then?
Each meter runs an average about $900. Jim, is that right? 800 and something?
Yeah, they are rough estimates. They're about 900. Some of them have been as low as 5, and some of them have been as high as 11 or 12. I don't think we've had any go over 11. So my guess is it's probably close to 8, but we'd have to divide them all out amongst the 50.
Pat, was that spreadsheet you gave me with the meter construction accurate for the first 29 meters?
As far as I know, yes. Well,
that averaged out to $732 a meter.
Okay.
Well, if you know how much it is, then you can budget how many you want to do then.
Well, exactly.
Okay. Those were the easy ones too, right, John?
Yeah, I might add a little, yeah.
Some of those were very easy. Some of them were very hard. I tried really hard to mix it up, you know, so that you didn't have all easy, hard ones. But the initial start of them, because the board didn't have the money right up front, it's a bunch of parts out of the gate. So the first 15 to 20 of them were extremely easy. And then I started mixing them up, you know, over the next 35 of them. So getting the initial parts in the inventory was very tough without money.
Jim, am I wrong? I think you've told me recently that we have 68 meters in.
Maybe in total. I think in use we have 58.
Okay, so 6 of those are in the Brown subdivision that aren't being used?
Correct. Barry Brown has some, and then there's also the two commercials for, well, Moe's, the winery, and the Triplex all have new meters that are not on the residential side. And then the state park also has one that was just installed for the shower. And then we have a 2-inch for the chalets and a 2-inch for the state park. So as far as new meters installed, I believe we're at 58, 56, somewhere in that area. I don't have an exact figure because I'd have to get out of this program to look at it.
Okay. Well, I think that's an important number to come up with. I would really like to know how many the board would like to install. Include in the budget for 2021. So Jim, maybe we can get together yet this week and nail that down a little better.
Yeah, we can. I think though the most important thing though is when I, you know, if we're not on schedule for installing these meters, it's kind of like, how fast do you want to go? Well, how much do you want to spend? It's hard to stay on schedule for the 4 or 5 year plan when we don't have the money rolling in when other things come up. So if I'm told, hey, wait on the meters, you know, for 2 or 3 months, for 2 years in a row, we're like, well, why are we off plan? You know, why are we not on the schedule? Well, you know, other things are breaking and other things are going on. So if we want to spend more and get to the more expensive meters done, we certainly can. But that's up to you guys. I mean, however many we want to put in.
I thought we were going to discuss just putting in, not being on a plan to install so many meters a month, but just hold that in abeyance in favor of taking care of other infrastructure work and only keeping enough meters on hand to cover the occasional leak, because sometimes Jim has to go install a meter where there's a leak.
Right.
Beyond 2 or 3 meters, you know, having that inventory of parts, not install meters and get with the program of working on some of these infrastructure projects. I thought we were going to be tightening our belt for this coming year, and I don't see how we can install meters and do infrastructure work at the same time.
This is why we have a budget committee, and we're all on it.
Right. So next week, we'll be talking about this some more.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Pat. I don't really have anything. Dan, do you have any comments?
No.
No more? Okay. Well, anything else that anybody thought of, or we can adjourn the meeting? Nothing else, then I would say we're adjourned. Our next meeting is the 19th, correct?
Yes, budget okay. committee.
6 o'clock, board, the budget committee meeting. So.
In the next 24 hours, I'll get the link connected for that so that you can, I'll send out an email to the board and the budget committee members and Dale, but I'll also have a link, a public link to that connected at the website.
Correct. Okay, great.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Meeting is adjourned then. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.